You're listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, Disappointed with America. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
And your buddy, Mike the Ghoul, back from the ashes here. Also saddened, disappointed. I don't even know where to go with this.
I know. We had a brief break there of about 3 months for the podcast while Ghoul Mike over here was getting a new job and getting adjusted to life, which is totally understandable. Priorities take priority, you know?
I mean, you know, I got to pay the bills. Like, this
the bills.
Is fun.
Yeah, I get that.
But I mean, we're relevantly talking about putting food on the table, which I guess was a big standing point for this election.
So,
to get my life together. But I'm good. I'm back. Let's make it happen.
Well, let's make it happen by talking about the downfall of democracy.
I'm scared. I don't even know, man. Like,
I know. So
I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed.
That is where I'm at. I thought it's been a few days now since the thing has happened. Like, the whole election happened, and somehow we're ending up with Captain Cheeto back in office again.
Yeah, the commander in thief, as I like to call him, you know?
That's good. Okay, that's really good. But but it's... I thought about writing an article multiple times for the website, but it's one of those things where when I was doing political stuff with the podcast before, when Josh and Bridget were on and we'd have like a group talking about it, it felt different to write that or do that instead of writing an article, because it's people having a conversation. They're discussing it. They're sharing views. Whereas an article is just one dude ranting into the void, and we already have enough of that on every blog and every Twitter and every talking head. It serves no purpose. But now, even though I think we're on the same page...
I think so.
it's better to have the conversation this way, because at least we can, you know, do it amiably and try and get to our better selves, I think, in this way. And it's this thing where... I think deep down in my gut, I kind of expected that Harris was going to lose. Like, the polls were wavering, and there's this whole thing about the fact that if the popular vote isn't at least 3 points up in the Democrats' favor across the country, they're going to lose. And it never felt like she built up enough of a head of steam. And there's reason for that we'll touch upon. But it just felt like deep down, this was a losing proposition. And
it's weird.
I kept hoping, but part of me said, no matter what,
It's like, I watch a lot of sports, and like, you, over the course of your lifetime, when you watch sports and like, you see some things started to unfold, you know, like this election, you just have a feeling.
Yeah.
Never once did I feel like she really had a chance watching how the night started. And it's fine, because like, it's going to happen that way. All the states that come in early, they're all red for the most part.
That red mirage they talk about.
Yeah. You're going to get that early, and it happens all the time, but it just, it didn't feel like there was going to be another, I mean, I don't want to say blue wave or anything like that, but there wasn't going to be like any kind of a comeback. Everything just felt so far away. Like, even the lead in Florida at one point felt fake, as it always is. Yeah. The lead in Texas was truly interesting for a minute, and then it wasn't, as per usual. It's just, I don't know. It's, you would think that, I guess what it is the effect of the way people are struggling to put food on the table or pay their bills or do anything that costs money, because, you know, everybody blames inflation on Biden, and it's probably his fault in some capacity. But people got to understand, things that happen now are ripple effects from 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't get how people don't understand that most basic concept. All the good that Trump had was from Obama. Mm-hmm. All the bad that, you know, Bush had was from Clinton, or so on and so forth. You don't, these things don't happen overnight. They happen over time. The economy doesn't move fast. So you can't, I don't know how people with a clear conscience can look and say this is all his fault.
Well,
did he have flaws? Yeah, but fair. And they get all their social media. They get their news from TikTok. They get their news from Twitter. And they just dissect these small little, like almost cherry picked batches of what they want to listen to. And they don't look at the bigger picture.
Well, it's this thing of, to understand politics really, you have to enmesh yourself in it. And most people find politics to be boring. I happen to like it. I like reading political blogs, and I like finding neutral sources and making my own judgment call. But most people, I think, they don't have enough time in the day to devote to thinking about that as well. So they're going to take the social media posts or the little bits they see online or whatever the news regurgitates to them, and they're just going to accept it. They, most people, when they talk about the campaign, I mean, besides those who did, and this is true, did a search online day of election for, did Biden drop out?
Oh my God.
But most people that were paying attention, even a little bit, just a little bit, seemed to have this opinion that Harris had no policy decisions, that she was weird, that she didn't know what she was doing, that she was,
she's weird,
that she was, well, that she was to blame for everything in the presidency, despite the fact that she's the vice president and they have one job to call 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue every morning and ensure the president is still alive. Like, there was a lot of stuff that was put on her that doesn't feel like it was actually about her campaign. It feels like it's either about what you're saying, kitchen table issues, or, and this is the other thing that might sound controversial here, that she was a woman.
You know, and I heard an interesting thought about that today. And, like, you would think that, like, I would hope. And you're going to get it both ways. A lot. I'm not even going to say a lot because clearly not a lot. But there's plenty of people in this country that feel like, okay, a woman can be president. They can be a strong leader. And in fact, maybe they'll be a better leader. You know, but there's always this, like, stigma that, like, a woman couldn't be in charge because she's too emotional or she's too, you know, she doesn't have the capacity to be, like, a strong leader in a room full of men. You think that this dude is respected?
I know.
You think that this dude's going to come in there and fight for you? Like, we'll see.
They
think
it because they've drunk the Kool-Aid, but I've seen a lot of people equate the Trump following as a cult. And it kind of is with the shirts and spouting what he says and not listening to what he's actually saying. It's crazy. But it's just, I just don't, it's hard to combat that because the Republicans, he's they've fallen in line behind him every election. And they love him. They don't even think about it. And so he gets, like, the same, well, I think it was, like, 78 million votes, give or take a couple million, every election. That's what he's done three times in a row. It's whether or not the Democrat is able to get people to show up for them. Hillary didn't. Biden did. Kamala didn't. And it's that same 14-ish million that show up or don't show up. And you're sitting there going, okay, Obama had a great economy. People loved Obama. They were rooting for more Obama. And then Clinton comes along, and yeah, she has some gaffes and she has some issues, but it's not a throw the bums out kind of moment there for her in the same way that it clearly is for Biden Harris. This is that was a, what's the biggest flaw that she has? And the only thing most people could come up with was they didn't want to vote for a woman. Or at least they didn't want to vote for her.
And if you feel like there might be some pushback there, like, because, like, you know, Trump defeated Hillary, a woman. Trump lost to Biden, a man. Trump beat Kamala, a woman. Now, like, sexist, say what you want, but, like, I mean, two out of three makes for a trend sorts, you know?
It's a data point, especially when Kamala slightly outperformed Hillary, not enough to beat Trump, but slightly outperformed. So it wasn't specifically racism in this particular instance, which you would expect if it was the case, she would have done worse than Hillary. This was a Democrats didn't want to vote for the person on the ticket, and the biggest common factor was their gender.
And there's a lot of, like, she didn't have, I don't think she did a bad job campaigning. No. You know, there's a lot of talk that, like, you know, she had a truncated timetable, 107 days. Is there enough time for the country to get to know her? At first, I'm thinking bullshit. You know who the fuck she is. But no, it's true. Like, I would say to my wife, you know, before Kamala ended up taking up the mantle and running, I wish I saw her more. I don't know what she's done, you know? And you know, to be honest, out of sight, out of mind, maybe that's not the worst idea considering what we came from the previous 4 years and that fucking trash fire every day. So I think that she wasn't as maybe out there, and she didn't get a chance to sell herself in that short period of time. Fair or unfair, I guess.
And here's the thing. So Biden won his one term, and he did fairly well. I don't think he was, honestly, long-term, the president Democrats wanted. He was fighting an uphill battle against COVID. He got us out of COVID. He managed to keep it from growing into a depression and kept us on an economy where unemployment is historically low, and inflation is actually down, but it's hard to see it on the specific things common people normally see. Those kinds of issues. So it's hard to combat it when the Republicans are basically saying, inflation is sky high, and they say, like, the price of eggs is super high, but they're comparing, like, $1.69 cheap Walmart eggs 4 years ago to $5 Eggland Best eggs now. Yeah, the price is different. Those are different eggs. I mean, they're really good eggs, too, but they're expensive. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a thing. I go to the grocery store over by me, and a dozen eggs is $2. It's up 40 cents in 8 years. Like, yeah, that's normal inflation. That's but they happens. Buy into it. Yeah, it happens. It's like gas prices have been more or less around $3 for 10 years now.
Almost so, more, it feels like. Yeah, maybe 15 almost. I remember in Jersey before I moved down to Maryland in like 2008-2009 was when it first started cranking up to that like $3-4 range, and people were freaking out. Mm-hmm. So it was about 15 years of this consistent gas not being able to fill your tank for $20.
But they blame Biden for it. And it's like, but it's always it's been this way. Also, if you have a problem with gas prices, go buy a goddamn electric car. Okay.
Oh no, we can't do that. You can't take my gas. You cannot take my gasoline away from me. No, you see, like we gotta keep polluting the environment. We gotta keep doing what we gotta keep having no effect of that, you know? Yeah, like we don't do anything to affect that at all.
So but it's this thing, and so Biden's done what he can, but I don't think he did a great job of selling it. I don't think he's a person that understands selling it. He's a senator, so you do your job, and then you move on to the next task. And he was very much a do-your-job, move-on-to-the-next-task kind of president. Work for him wasn't so easy to sell. And he wasn't out there the way Obama was, because he wasn't comfortable with that because of his stutter and his age and everything else. So he wasn't making appearances, so he wasn't dragging Kamala along with him, whereas Obama would show up and Uncle Joe's in the background cracking wise.
Yeah, cracking wise, finger guns all over the place.
And you loved it, but Kamala didn't get the same thing, even though Biden was like, I'm going to work with her the way Obama worked with me, but you don't see it. So it just it didn't have the same impact. I don't know if that would help save her, but it wouldn't have hurt.
It certainly wouldn't have hurt, It
certainly wouldn't have hurt. But the big issue, and I think you mentioned this, but it's worth touching upon it, is the fact that they didn't give her the time she needed. And that's because Biden decided, because everyone who's run for president or run for senator or is president looks in the mirror and thinks, I could do 4 years. Biden decided that despite swearing he was going to be a one-term president when he got elected, decided to run for a second term, and then didn't bail out until 100 days before the election. And that's just, like, I get it. Some Democrats have said it felt like a bait and switch. And some Democrats have said we needed the full primary to get to know her, to get to know someone else. And that's fair. There were other people that could have run, and maybe they would have gotten it, and maybe they would have beaten Biden. Maybe they would have beaten Trump. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
But, like, end of the day, I still think it's mostly just the fact that she was a woman.
And I think a lot of it, I'm going to be very careful with how I word this a little bit, because there is some data, and there's just some culture aspects of this that ring true while you're listening. The Latino vote, okay? Yeah. I was stunned that he got the amount of votes he did.
Yeah.
Especially from Latino men and women. Yeah. And hearing people talk about that, and there is a racial thing, whatever, call it what it is, you know, it's countries are different, where most Latinos look to men as leaders and look at women and say they cannot be. Yeah. Is that a factor here? Maybe. It certainly is a point that, like, you know, could be made, because the Latino vote was a lot of what decided this. When you have Trump saying he's going to round up mass deportations day one and send all you people back, legal, illegal, doesn't matter, send all your kids back, born here, DACA, dreamer, doesn't matter, you're out, and yet you still vote for the man.
They don't think that he means them.
I think so, but I mean, you can't look at this guy and say he doesn't blanketly care about anything but what he says he's going to do. You guys have given him access to the presidency again. You've given him control of the Senate, and now he has control of the House, and he has control of the Supreme Court, and he's going to put two more justices on the Supreme Court before he's done.
Y'all
asked for this.
Yeah.
Good luck.
That's a feeling I've been having. But let's look at this for a second. He rounded up immigrants, put them into camps, separated children from their parents, and they were all Latino and, like, whatever other term you want to use, Hispanic, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think Latino is the appropriate term now, but I've seen multiple of them used over the last couple days. The Latino vote saw that. They saw what people said about Puerto Rico, especially the people in Pennsylvania who are primarily Puerto Rican.
Yep.
And they decided to vote for him anyway. They knew what they were getting with that. Despite that, they still voted for him. And it's because, I mean, the comments I've seen from articles discussing this, even though I've desperately tried not to go down the rabbit hole for the last few days.
It's hard not to.
It's hard not to, because I'm just like, I wanted some answers.
I want to know why. Why?
And then I don't like the answers. But they're like, well, I did it legally, so I get to be here. And the people that are coming in illegally, they just need to do it the right way, and they need to go home. And it feels like, it's like a, I got mine, so I'm going to pull the ladder up behind me.
Yeah, and people that say that, okay, look, you need to look no further. Look at John Oliver, the most whitest of British men, zero threat glasses, dorky guy who has a talk show. It took my man 10 years to get citizenship himself.
And he had to work here on a visa alongside him. And the only reason he was even allowed to is because he was married to someone.
Exactly. So if you think, if it took John Oliver, a celebrity, a voice in media, over 10 years to get citizenship for this country, how easy do you think it's going to be for anybody else? You say, oh, just have them come here legally. They're going to be sent back before they even have the chance to go through the process.
Yeah. Even if they claim asylum, most people don't want them here. And it's like, well, that's defeating the point of the whole immigration process. I agree. The immigration process is broken, but it's not broken the way they're talking about.
No, you do not have roaming gangs of thugs and hoodlums climbing and swimming across the rivers and climbing the walls. You don't have migrant caravans of millions of people walking here from South America. You know, all these talking points that all it is fear. Are there people coming over here illegally? Yeah. Are there drugs coming in illegally? Sure. But you know what? It's coming from Canada too. And it's coming from legal ports. And it's not just coming from the southern border. You can't cherry pick these topics like you want to. And it's all people listen to. Yep. And it's depressing.
It is depressing. I have been going through many different feelings of anger the last few days.
Yeah.
And mostly it just rests on disappointment. I'm just disappointed primarily with the Democratic voters who simply decided, she's not good enough, I'm just not going to bother showing up. Because not only did they not vote for her, but they didn't show up for the Senate races, they didn't show up for the House races. They're basically going to give him a complete trifecta on everything with no checks or balances. And the they voted for him twice so far or just haven't cared. And there's this whole thing about when you vote enough times a certain way, it becomes cemented. So the longer that this goes on where they don't show up or they decide, I'm going to vote for the Republicans because I don't trust the Democrats, then it becomes a thing. And how do the Democrats even recover from that?
I don't know if you can. Like, it feels, a lot of this feels just like blind loyalty across party lines or something. You know, like my family is very Republican. All right. My wife's family is very Republican and they will vote Republican no matter what. It doesn't matter the qualifications of the candidate. It doesn't matter who that person is. They're going to vote along party lines because that's what their parents did and that's what they're going to do. So I don't understand the thought process of somebody like think outside the box and think for yourself a little bit. Like, what do you want? Don't just vote because you're supposed to vote that way. Like, you got to vote the way you want to vote. But, I mean, I guess the country did, question mark?
I guess.
I don't know. I'm just doing some math here right now because I have to see these numbers myself.
So, yeah, no, but you said something, and I agree. I don't want to agree, but I agree, which is the you made your bed, now you have to lay in it, is kind of how it is for at least the next 2 years into the midterms and maybe longer if the Democrats are just lost in the woods for a while. Like,
I don't know what to look forward to here.
This is what they voted for. This is what they wanted. This is what they gave them. They have a mandate. Project 2025 is going to go into effect. All of the federal government's going to get remade in Trump's image because that's what he promised he would do. He's going to act like a dictator on day one because that's what he promised he would do. And it's that thing. He said it. You laughed it off as a joke, but he said it, and you could tell he meant it.
And the fact that he just has, you don't want to say he has unchecked power, because nobody really has an unchecked power. Does he have more than he's had? Yeah, because look at what he's got. He's got control of all three branches of government, a Republican, and he's got the Supreme Court. He can get, you don't want to say get away with, because we're going to just be careful about wording here, but he can do almost essentially whatever he wants to do. He's got the Supreme Court already saying that a sitting president can't be held accountable for anything they do. For the most part, he can just get away with anything. And now he's got no trouble being able to confirm people through Congress because they have control there. They're probably going to get the House. It's still undecided. It's still up there. We'll see. It's going to be very close either way. And it'll be a little difficult, I think, for Republicans to keep everybody on the same page with such a narrow margin. But it's going to be a margin nonetheless.
Well, and so, he has toadies in both sides of Congress that will kowtow to him because his word will get them unelected and someone else in their place. So they're not going to say boo to him. They didn't say boo to him this whole election. Every time he said, don't vote for this, they're like, okay, we won't, even though it was something their electorate wanted, like border protection. Like, no. So,
and that's the thing, too. Like they're, you just, people just glaze over the fact that, like, they had a bipartisan agreement to fix the border while Trump was in office. And what did he crushed it. So we could keep it a talking point. These they say a lot about fixing this and fixing that. They're never going to do it because they don't have anything to talk about.
No. I honestly think that the Democrats should just not participate for the next 2 years.
I think you're right.
Sit back.
100%.
Abstain every vote, even the ones that they should filibuster. Abstain them all. Let them have everything so that the country can see what it is the Republicans actually want. Because I think right now most of the Republicans in Congress are going to be sitting there going, wait, we actually have to govern again? And they're going to have to think about what they want and how that was going to affect the electorate. And they're kind of counting on the Democrats to, like, filibuster them and try and act as whatever catch they can. I don't think they should. I think they should fucking let them swing.
That would be just like, that's a big brain play right there. Like, in my opinion, right? Because you're so right. You know what? America, you asked for this. You gave control to this man and this party for every branch of government. You know what? Let's see what they can do. And you know, let's just say that we go through 2 years and shit doesn't blow up. Then you know what? I'll be happy to be proven wrong. I'll be happy to see a much more tempered Trump in the White House that has had 4 years to kind of, you know, flex his whatever, because he done got muscles, but flex his whatever, and you know, come then walk back in and have another 4 years to keep himself out of jail, and maybe he, you know, he tries to make a buck or whatever, but maybe he's more tempered. Who knows? I doubt it. I do not think so at all. I'd love to be proven wrong, but you don't have this. The coalition behind him is, I keep hearing the word across radio and TV, machine. And that worries the ever-loving shit out of me, especially when you have all the talk of Hitler and all the talk of, like, I want, you know, German generals that follow orders to a T. What was the German army in the 30s? They were a machine.
Yeah.
No one stood in their way.
Nope.
What do you think this is, people?
So I'm a Jewish person. I'm not exactly worried about him coming after me because for some reason he is interested in keeping the Jews on his side for right now. Like,
it's your space lasers.
His people in Congress worry about getting reelected and they need the Jewish populace behind them. At least the Jewish Republicans anyway. So it's this whole, like, I'm not necessarily worried about me, but that's like, I'm a white dude essentially, and I can just skate by and hide and it's fine. But a lot of people out there are gonna suffer under this, under his quote-unquote Nazi-like agenda, whatever it may be, because he really has it out for brown people and black people and everyone else.
Yeah.
And they're gonna suffer. And I just, I worry about that, but they voted for him.
Yeah, and I worry to an extent also, like, to your point about, like, his vindiction against brown people and people, you know, people that, you know, to a point, the Hispanics, but I think he also caters to them. But you never hear him say nice things about Muslim people, period. No. You just don't. And I feel that, like, you know, part of the Democratic misstep with the whole thing in Gaza and you know, not allowing Palestinian voices to be heard at the Democratic National Convention, and maybe they should, maybe they shouldn't. it's atrocities going on over there either way. They're killing people that are innocent, and it's bullshit. And just human decency, people, get over fucking, you know, Israel versus Palestine. It is just, you should not, the people they're killing are not the people that deserve to die. It's just the way it is. Call it any other way. But like the almost pseudo protests that a lot of these like Muslim people did because the Democrats wouldn't stand up for them so much, like especially in Detroit, where there's a very large Muslim population, and they turned out less for Harris, not at all, but less for Harris than for Biden. Like this little statement, this little, you know, protest almost, it could really backfire for some of these people.
Oh, yeah.
It just really, and maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but it really could with this really person could. In the White House. It really could.
Yeah, he doesn't care. And they wanted to protest to say, hey, our voice matters. But all they did was not get her elected. When I think like their goal was to get her elected by a thinner margin. So that she knew that they were playing and that she had to take them seriously. But all it proved was that if they're just going to elect someone else, if the Democrats don't do exactly what they want, and the other person isn't going to care at all. I don't think that's really winning.
No, it's not. You can make your statement. You can draw your line in the sand. You can call bullshit. You can say whatever. You don't try to make this. There was too much riding on this. Okay. 14,280,564 less people voted in this election than the last one. Mm-hmm. Up to this point, 14 million. What the actual fuck?
Yeah.
Nope. I don't understand that.
Well, okay, so let's analyze it. We're going long on this one. Let's analyze this from a specific perspective. One, the media didn't cover Trump the way they covered Harris. He would make gas left and right. He would say dumb shit, and they just brushed it off because it's just more Trump. She would say stuff, and they would nitpick all over Everett, whether or not she was making gaffes or not. I don't know if they were trying to, like, try for balance, or they were just bored of Trump and wanting to do something else, but the media contributed. They did not help this matter at all. But there's also this thing of people watching were tired of Trump. Like, they'd go to his rallies and then they'd leave early, but they still voted for him. So they just, it was more, they wanted to be in his presence, but they weren't literally listening to what he was saying, because they were already, having gone through 8 years of him being around as a president or a presidential candidate, they already knew, and they already didn't care, so they tuned him out. His greatest power was the fact that he wore them down.
Yeah, and his base, I mean, I'm running some of the numbers right here. They're nothing if not consistent in their turnout and their appearances for this man.
It's all the Democrats. The Democrats win or lose these things, and they lost it for Hillary, they lost it for Harris. They just didn't show up, and I mean, it's true. There's nothing that Trump could do, literally, because he's a felon. He's a convicted felon who's never going to spend any time or pay any money for it, because already those charges are going to be dropped by the judge that presided that case. He's already said as much, because he can't force a sitting president to prison, and there's no reason to keep the docket open for 4 years. So he's going to get away with that too. But he's still a convicted felon, and they voted for him. That whole thing about him being able to shoot someone in broad daylight on the street and people would still vote for him. Yep, pretty much.
Yeah.
They just proved it. He committed crimes. He's a convicted rapist and a convicted fraud. And they're like, well, we still love him. Okay.
I struggle so very much with trying to understand how your average Jimmy Bob out there in Nebraska feels like this guy from New York who lives in Florida, who is allegedly a multi-millionaire, is your voice.
Well,
I don't get that.
He did the one thing that they cared about. He got rid of abortion. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all. That most of them are, or maybe not most, but a lot of them are one topic voters.
Yeah.
And he did their one topic, so they will never leave him.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll see. He say what you want about this man, but he always very cautiously, I don't want to say cautiously words himself, but he smartly or inadvertently always finds a way to kind of double talk on almost every topic.
So he never says anything that's real.
No, there's no commitment on anything he says. It's just, it's a this, but then a maybe. It's a that, but however. It's never a true. Yeah, it's never a true definitive, this is where I stand. Let's see what his stand is on this, because, you know, they're going to push for a national abortion ban with this product 2025. Mm-hmm. They're going to.
He wasn't going to. They're totally going to. That's true.
Let us see if he is true to his word.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to be.
That might be one thing the Democrats filibuster. I might be okay with that.
I hope they do, because you're mm-hmm. really excellent point there. Like, I say, why not? You asked for this trash fire. Let's sit back and watch you. Give you just enough rope to hang yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and let's see what happens. And if they do a good job, holy shit, was I wrong?
I don't
expect that.
I expect they're going to do exactly what the Republicans have always done. Say mm-hmm. they're going to do something and then push through tax cuts that don't help anyone but the rich.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's their only policy they actually care about. It's the only thing Trump could point to that he succeeded in, was putting through a tax cut that actually ended up helping only the rich. Yeah, so,
and I'm terrified at this prospect also of some of these people that are going to be in charge of things. Like, you know, Robert Kennedy needs Brainworm in charge of telling me how I can eat my Fruit Loops and what goes into my healthcare. And Elon Musk in charge of government spending in some capacity. Like, you know, the most megalomaniac, egotistical piece of shit on the planet. And you're going to give him any kind of ear of the president, allegedly the most powerful man in the world, and backing the shit out of him with all that money. Like, I feel like Elon had a... I'm not saying he had a hand in this to, like, you know, rig the election or whatever, although he did offer to pay people to vote for Trump. We'll just throw that out there. He did do that. But I feel like Elon, very strategically, he was going to pick a side here, and he picked Trump because he tried to do something with Kamala at some one of her rallies or something, and then they denied him and said, "Nah, we don't want you there." So he hitched himself to Trump's wagon. Now his horse won. His horse won.
He fits better, though, with Trump. He owns X, which is basically alt-right social media at this point, and he's anti-trans. Those two things alone were not going to suit Kamala and her campaign. There was just no way.
They feels like a dramatic miscalculation on the Democrats' part for the concerns of the people at the end of the day. Like, a lot of us have concerns of, you know, trans rights and abortion and, you know, all these other things that actually matter. When it really boiled down to a lot of this for people of putting food on the table, paying your bills, and the only person that spoke to that in any capacity, if you want, it was Trump in a way. It was all lies and bullshit.
It was all lies and bullshit.
Harris told you what she was going to do, but everybody kept saying she didn't have a plan. I mean, she told you, I'm going to do this. Yeah, but you don't have a plan, but that is my plan.
That's my plan. That's right? I'm literally telling you the plan.
Would it be better if she said I had concepts of a plan? Right. Like, what are we going with here?
Well, there you go.
I mean, I don't know.
Disappointed.
We'll see how the next 2 years end up. Well, to the midterms, you know, I was joking with you today. Like, I told my wife yesterday, like, I've never been so serious about moving out of the country. Mm-hmm. You know, if things turn the way I feel like they are, and I'm not trying to be an alarmist. I'm not trying to be, you know, the guy who's got a bunker in his basement, you know, going to, you know, curl up with some cans and lock the door. But realistically, the world we know is shifting, and it's been shifting for years. And it's not going to go back to what we knew in the 90s and early 2000s. And it's only going to get worse. Yep. And you have probably one of the most egotistical, worst people in the world in charge of allegedly the greatest country in the world. I have questions about that now. With people backing him that have more money than anybody in the world.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Well, that's what they voted for. So, this has been Not So Live from Asteroid G. Really sad about this last election. I'm Mike Finkelstein.
Yeah, I'm going to go see if I got any more ballots to count somewhere. Maybe we're not out of this just yet.
We will see you all next time.